be doing something that is uncharacteristic. And I would like everyone to really pay attention. But that's what I'm responding to. I'm going to respond to the LRC. I think from the point of view of the Legal Resources Center, we've not been able to be loyal to these parliamentary procedures. And therefore, as a Democrat, I will invite the LRC to raise the substantive issues that they want to raise. Again, if people will recall, when they raised some of the issues in March, we asked them to present to us a written comment on the issues. That written comment came, but I think it came later, maybe wrong, but I think it came a little bit later than we had hoped for. So with that, I'll invite them to raise the issues. We'll entertain them. It's really a prerogative of the chair. So it's just a favor that I'm granting. So if people would come through and talk to us about the issues that they want to raise to us. And then hopefully the department and our legal advisors can have an initial take on the issues, and then we'll digest it as a member. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we're nice of getting a speaking opportunity. I didn't prepare for it, but anyway, I think I know the issues backwards by now, so I'll raise some of them once again. The first issue relates to the procedural concerns relating to the NEMA Amendment Bill. Basically, our concern is that these are two interlocking bills. There will still be public consultation about the NPRDA, but there will not be any further public consultation about this bill, the NEMA bill. Mm-hmm. These two things interlock, and I think that it's still of the utmost necessity that the public gets to ventilate the issues in regard to NEMA, which are also going to be reflected in the changes in the NPRDA. For the one bill to still have public hearings and the other bill not, is going to create a lopsided process, which I think is to the detriment of a proper system which takes into account all the concerns that arise. Some of these concerns, for example, are the fact that the time limit for EIAs under the NPRDA will be getting shorter and shorter. So that's just to highlight one issue. So I would appeal to you to allow for public hearings about this bill. Now, we've argued that this bill is actually a new bill for a number of reasons which are contained in my letter. The fact that it's substantially different from what we started with when we started the process. The process started with a very simple NEMA, which just said in its opening address, it said, you know, we're just tightening up on some procedures. Now we have a NEMA, which has basically got a whole system for mining in it, and it's got a curious arrangement where the Minister of Mining, Minerals and Energy is in fact the person who administers NEMA. This is a very, I think, an administratively complex exercise which has been constructed in this bill. This means that this bill is a very different animal from the simple animal we started with. And also the NPRDA is changing. I think for that reason, there has to be, well, the parliamentary rules say that if there's a change in principle in a bill, it has to be reintroduced again. And I would argue that this is what happened, but the whole principle of the thing has changed. And I'll highlight one particular aspect of it, and that is that under the NPRDA, you have to have an environmental management plan. It's mandatory, whereas under this system, it's not mandatory anymore. I mean, that's a significant change if you think about how mining impacts on the lives of people and their health on the landscape. To say that it's no longer mandatory that you have to have an environmental management plan under this new system, it's discretionary. I think that the public needs to know about that. People who are affected by mining, communities who live in the shadow of mining, need to know that so that they can say, you know, our health has been affected. We live with asbestos stuff. We haven't had those voices. We haven't heard those people. I don't have a mandate from those people. I haven't had an opportunity to engage with them. The timing has been incredible. rapidly, you know, from what we initially started with. So that's why I would say, on a procedural level, this, I would hope that you would exercise your discretion and you would give the public a proper hearing. I also have a lingering concern about the issue of discretion. Now, under the old MENA, there were certain mandatory things. You had to have an impact assessment. You had to look at mitigation. And you had to monitor. Now, I don't understand on what basis we can have a law that says you have to have an impact assessment of a listed activity, but maybe you don't have to mitigate. I can't think of a case where something would need an impact assessment, but where the minister would say we don't need to mitigate the impact. We don't need to monitor. It just doesn't make sense. Why is this going to be discretionary? I mean, I'd love to hear, could there be some sort of a process which is so well regulated that you don't need to think of mitigation, but then why would that be a listed activity? Why would it attract an impact assessment with public participation if there's no need to mitigate? I just think there's something fundamentally wrong with this, that somebody has decided somewhere along the line that mitigation of impact is something we always need. And then I also have a problem with the contradiction between that position and what the Act is actually saying. All the way through NEMA, it says you must minimize impact. That NEMA is there to help us protect our environment. Minimize, minimize, minimize. It's in the principle. It's in the section on integrated environmental management. So then, why are we saying that there's a discretion about it when you actually come to assessing the impact of the listed activity? So that doesn't hang together. So I would urge you, Chair, to consider what I said in this submission and require, if there should be, if you're going to assess the impact of an activity, you must mitigate those impacts. It must be mandatory. And you must monitor it. I mean, if we tell someone, you shall use the following mitigation measures, but we never ask a year later, how is it going? Is that tank that you built properly covered? Are the fumes being properly controlled? Those communities in South Durban who complain about the air that they can't breathe. They want to be able to say, you got a permit. The permit says you can't emit more than this much of this poisonous fume. And there's a monthly check, and the community can go and see that they're sticking to the limit, a monitoring system. How can this be something which is in the discretion of the minister to monitor the impacts of some of these kinds of plants? Things that are listed are not Mickey Mouse little activities. These are the major industries. We don't list pretty little things. We list things which we want to keep people from. So those are my submissions there. I can go on all day, but thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to speak.
So there are two fundamental issues. One is the changing of the bill. You believe that the inclusion of some sections of the NPRP are substantive, therefore. You believe that the changes in the bill by the inclusion of some of the sections of the NPRP are substantive enough to have warranted further public hearing. And then the whole issue of mitigation
and
monitoring. So those are the three issues.
Okay, that's what it boils down to. And also the issue of May, when it comes to an environmental management plan, my latest reading, unless I remember correctly, it says that if you apply for authorization for a mine, for mining activity, you may be required to have an environmental management plan. Not too much, which is what the NPRDA is. In my mind, that's a significant shift.
You must have
an environmental management program or plan. And just to say this, to add a few words, a mine is a mine. I mean, mines don't happen without huge amounts of waste. You know, huge big industrial processes. You have to have a plan. I mean, I was trying to think, is there a mine that I can think of that doesn't significantly impact on the environment. Maybe a bit of sand mining, because if you can load it off the sand, that's going to mess up the resources. So you can get away with it.
Okay.
I think it's expensive. And I think it might lead to something medical, but if some mining out there are allowed, it's just not medical. I mean, we're going to go back to what we've had up until now, which is thousands of unrehabilitated miners.
Okay. Let's for now not respond to the issue of the process. Can we respond to this issue around the mitigation and the impact assessment and this issue of environmental management plan? These two issues. Can we have a response on that?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think I must reiterate the point that these points have been noted. The issue around discretion,
okay.
The discretionary, the May month, we're talking specifically around 244A and 244B, that has been repeatedly in all the hearings and all the written submissions by the LRC, this has been raised and has been considered by the committee. And it's for that reason why the May in 244B changed to must be applicable. Secondly, there's a fundamental misunderstanding that 244A and 244B apply to specific activities. It applies to tools to regulate activities. So the discretion of the minister is when he makes the EIA regulation for a specific identified activity. He must, in that regulation, decide whether he is going to, for that set of activities, require the must, where he must require that. The way applicable in B, you must decide for that set of activities, not on an individual basis, but in setting the regulation, whether in this instance, for example, life cycle analysis, these activities will be subject to life cycle analysis. When we apply life cycle analysis, are we going to require mitigation? Now, that's maybe a good example, because life cycle analysis and mitigation doesn't fit into life cycle analysis as an option. It's typically something that where it will not be applicable. But if we talk about EIA, certainly the tool of EIA, environmental impact assessment, mitigation is definitely applicable, and therefore it will be included in the regulations stemming from this enabling act that mitigation is required for all activities listed in the EIA regulations. So you cannot leave this act as applying to individual activities that may be subject to a process. The current EIA regulations are in place. The current EIA regulations list a whole lot of activities, including mining, that must be subject to the EIA process as prescribed. That EIA process as prescribed must come from the Act. And that must say, okay, it must include mitigation, it must include reporting on gas in information. The EIA regulations prescribe that. So it is not going to change for the activities that is listed. Should the minister decide that he wants to list an activity that is not currently listed and he wants to make that activity subject to, for example, life cycle analysis, he must, in the drafting of the regulations for life cycle analysis, consider whether mitigation applies. So the assurance is there in terms of two things. Firstly, that the principles of NEMA remain mandatory for all activities and that mitigation to acceptable levels is within the principles of NEMA. And that would remain for all too. Secondly, when we talk on an activity list. Secondly, that mining is a listed activity in terms of the EIA regulations. It could not come into effect up to now because 341D of NEMA requires that when the minister lists an activity that is managed or that is the mandate of another minister, that he must obtain the consensus of that minister. Now, the Minister of Water and Affairs given their consensus, everybody given their consensus, including the Minister of Minerals and Energy. But the consensus of listing mining by the Minister of Minerals and Energy was conditional. The conditions that the Minister of Minerals and Energy stipulated for the listing of mining in the EIA regulations was A, that there mustn't be any duplication of regulatory requirements, and B, that she must retain the competence that the NPRDA and that the Parliament entrusted them to. That then resulted
in the competent authority definition of this bill that was always the bill that was published first by the department and that was then published by this committee for comment. So the making the Minister of Minerals and Energy implementing NEMA has been from the very beginning part of this bill. What has changed is the mechanism of giving effect to that. And that was also to minimize the duplication in regulatory requirements by taking the regulatory requirements out of the NPRDA and bringing it into NEMA. Around the issue of EMPRs not being mandatory, there's two things that must be kept in mind here. Firstly, yes, EMPRs, the approval of an EMPR is currently a requirement of the NPRDA. But that EMPR is preceded in terms of the regulations to the NPRDA by an EIA process that then results in an EMPR which is approved. The change is that instead of an approval of an EMPR, you now have an environmental authorization, which is substantially stronger than an EMPR approval. A, it can be appealed, which an EMPR approval cannot be appealed. B, it gives the Minister of Minerals and Energy of Environmental Affairs a veto because the appeal is in place on environmental grounds, which the NPRDA does not make provision for currently. Then, so that is firstly to understand that the EMPR approval has been replaced by an environmental authorization. Every single thing that needs to be included in an EMPR is covered in what you need to have in an environmental authorization. We have strengthened further that say, in addition to an environmental authorization, the minister may require that you must do an EMPR to support or to implement how you're going to demonstrate how you're going to implement your environmental authorization. So that is now open to all activities through the inclusion of EMPRs in 24N. But 24Q still makes it mandatory for mining to do EMPRs. They cannot comply with 24Q if they do not have EMPRs. So it is not true to say that EMPRs are no longer mandatory for mining activities. It's been strengthened. You need an environmental authorization in addition to the EMPR, and your EMPR, in order to comply with 24Q, it implies that you need an approved EMPR that is in place. So our view is that it's definitely strengthened. Environmental authorization is stronger than EMPR. Apart from the appeal provision, the second thing that I want to mention that members must just keep in mind is by making it subject to environmental authorization, the provisions of Chapter 9, in other words, the enforcement mechanisms of NEMA, can now also be made applicable to mining, which is not currently the case and will remain to not be the case if we do not bring mining into the National Mining and Management Act. So I think, most of the issues around that's written in the submission that wasn't made today around exemptions, around the discretionary powers, around rectification, and around the cooperative governance mechanisms have been raised and considered by the committee on numerous previous occasions from the very first publication of the book.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the last round and then we'll close it. Okay.
I just think that we also need to get your advice,
okay,
the advice on the difference between the NPRDA and the NEMA, because there's a fundamental difference as they are 75 and 76 books.
Okay, Advocate Gordy, and then we'll go back to you, Madam Vandela. Okay.
Thank you. I think that point is well made. The two processes of this one of the two bills before committees of Parliament are essentially perfect in terms of different provisions of the Constitution, one being 75, one being 76. Obviously, 76 will attract the imposition of the bill to be forwarded to Parliament for their input, because we essentially dealing with a Schedule 4 matter. The 75 would be more a competence that falls within the National Assembly competence, and so that would be in fact necessitate the different processes. But before furthering that point, I would like to take the opportunity to particularly raise the procedural concerns raised by the LLC in the letter. One, first, that Rule 240 of the National Assembly rules is not being complied with, and Rule 254. can look at the particular rules quoted by the LLCC, and I'm of the opinion that the two rules do not apply to the matter at hand for the following reasons. Rule 240 of the National Assembly Rules is clear that it relates to goals that are at the introduction stage of the latest of the process. What the currency involves in NEMA is a bill that was staged for public participation and further input when it was read in the latest of the process. This is not a new bill that has come to the doors of Parliament. NEMA was introduced, it was sent to a committee, it was in a deliberation process, and during that process, the committees decided to negotiate with each other, to get further agreements, and then to decide which way it was going forward. So, NEMA is not a bill to be introduced, and therefore Rule 240 is not applicable. National Assembly Rule 254 speaks about a bill that has been finalized by a portfolio committee and now been placed on the order paper for a second reading. It's clear that NEMA has also not progressed to that point. We are still in deliberation phase on NEMA. The view quoted by the LRC states that the amendments by the committee are out of order because it changes the principles of the bill in terms of 254. 254 is not applicable because this committee is entitled to deliberate on the bill, to change and amend it, to change and introduce version of the bill. That is why this committee is constituted or delegated that function by the National Assembly. If this committee did not have that competence to deliberate and to make amendments on an introduced bill, there would be no reason for the legislative process. We would just merely be seen to be rubber stamping what the executive introduced to the legislature. So I don't think that 254 is applicable. May I add to you that it's my opinion that 254 applies where they do have a bill on the order paper. And for some odd reason, there's an amendment before the second reading. If a member of a committee of the National Assembly proposes an amendment, in that respect, an amendment cannot then change the bill in principle. And that is where 254 would kick in. But NEMA is not at that stage. That is not the view. So on that basis, I do not consider the argument by the LRC in respect of 240 and 254 to be cogent. I think that's about all I need to say on that stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Advocate Gordon. Can you, I'll give you your last bite on this one.
As regards the EIA issues, the requirement for monitoring and mitigation, and the words must where applicable. I would just like to say that the way that the new amendment bill is currently drafted creates a loophole where for EIA there is no discretion for the minister in regulation to say that the EIA doesn't require mitigation and monitoring. That is in effect what has happened. It's true that a whole lot of new tools have been introduced and those need to be regulated and some of them won't need monitoring and some of them won't need mitigation. That's true. But EIAs are the history. They've been in this, they are one of the heart of NEMA. And you know, to put them all in one camp with all these new tools and then make monitoring and mitigation discretionary means that you're giving it up. So in regard to EIAs, this might not necessarily be required at some stage in the future in respect to certain activities. And I think that if the portfolio committee wants to properly protect the interests that need to be protected by EIAs, then it needs to distinguish EIAs from these other tools and say, which if my honourable colleague is correct, if there's absolutely no, there should be absolutely no concern that this would ever happen in an EIA, then make EIAs into a separate subgroup where you state that. Because I don't think that just because our current regulations require monitoring and mitigation, just because of the regulations require, regulations can be changed. Regulations don't, you know, but if the empowering statute says EIAs have certain minimum requirements, then we're all clear on it. So I would suggest that EIAs should be distinguished from these other tools, and that it should be clear that when you conduct an EIA and do a listed activity, of course you're going to mitigate the adverse impact. Of course you're going to monitor those things. Okay. Then the next thing about the question of mining.
Let's hold on to this one. I think we need to address. You believe that we are not this. Present form of litigation doesn't strengthen the mitigation.
I think that this is a loophole. it introduced a whole lot of new tools,
which are great. I love it. And I think those tools need to be regulated. You don't want to be looking at mitigation monitoring when you're looking at something like a risk assessment. That's true. I mean, that's very correct. But I think that the EIAs serve a particular function. They look at something which is potentially going to significantly affect the environment. They look at its impact. And then they say, we minimize, we monitor. That's not clear from this, in the way this law has been drafted. It is feasible for the minister to pass regulations that don't require monitoring and mitigation for EIAs. I don't think that was your intention when you introduced all these tools.
Okay. I hope members are noting this question. We'll come back to it.
Maybe
we're hearing you. We're hearing you. You can proceed. If you want to rebut or...
Regarding the question of mining EIA, I still maintain that there are a whole lot of provisions of the NPRDA also listed with regard to issues like mitigation, which are simply not going to be mandatory under this Act. My point 5.3.2. If you would like me to make submissions regarding Ms. McCourt's specific arguments, because I think it's difficult for me to address those each, as we sit in here. If you would like me to prepare arguments on her points and do it today or tomorrow and bring these back to you, I can do it in conjunction with it. So that I can ventilate my concerns properly. Because I don't believe that the arguments that I've made are being properly counter-argued by this report. I still maintain that the concerns that I raised are not addressed. So I'm happy to sit down and give you a written response to this. But it's not possible to, just on my feet argue every point you just made. Safe to say that I believe that the statute does not address those issues. And then finally, the same would apply with regard to the comments on the procedure. The interpretation of what a change in principle is and whether this bill is in fact has changed in principle from the initial bill that was introduced. I can make sure there is an argument for that. I maintain that has not been, that argument has not been.
Okay, fine. Do you want to comment, or you can comment in the court and the advocate Gordon, and then after this we'll allow the representatives of the people to comment.
Thank you very much. Again, I want to reiterate the point that the debate about the 244A, the 244B, where mitigation comes in, has been before this committee on numerous occasions, and the point made today by the LRC was made on numerous occasions and responded to on numerous occasions before, including during the public hearing that was held in November. But what I want to say is that you have to read the entire, you cannot take a context, one provision out of context. 244B, where mitigation lies, is directly linked to the prescribing of regulations. Regulations have a prescribed process that it must go for. The minister cannot, in lack of a better term, willy-nilly go and change regulations. There's a process where regulations need to be gazetted. The minister would need to demonstrate the where applicable and where not applicable. It would be not eloquent to now do a separate section for environmental EIA while we, in our very essence, in the office of the bill, was trying to set a standards and norms for environmental authorization. So the emphasis moved from EIA as but one of the potential tools to obtaining an environmental authorization and all the potential tools that can be used for obtaining environmental authorization. 244B, mitigation is one of the issues that are there, but as I said, it's already, the essence of mitigation is captured in 244A as well, because it is a principle of NEMA that where impact cannot be avoided altogether, it must be mitigated to acceptable levels. That's the principle of NEMA. There must, in 244A, number two, say the principles of NEMA remain a requirement for all two. And that includes all the principles of NEMA. So the entire process, the discretion, and again I must emphasize, the qualified discretion in making regulations is to say, for this tool, this specific, and I've used life cycle analysis before, mitigation per activities does not apply. The minister must then publish those regulations, and he must demonstrate that mitigation is not applicable. And then the members of the public have an opportunity to participate in that process. So if the minister decides, well, I don't know what would motivate him to do that, and I cannot see that it would happen, because he will not be able to demonstrate that it's not applicable, to amend the EIA regulation, and he wants to, in an amendment, take the requirements out of mitigation, that needs to go through a public process. But he will not be able to demonstrate that it's not applicable, because it's a known tool that has been used all over the world and where mitigation is at the heart of EIA. I may say as an argument that it wouldn't make sense to include a separate section on EIA because it defeats the purpose of enabling a set of tools that have common standards, common things, and the way that in which the bill was conceived to do it. To say, let's focus on environmental authorization rather than focusing on one of the tools that could lead to environmental authorization. I maintain of the view that everything that is applicable to EIA, the minister has no choice but to retain it in the EIA regulation because his decision is qualified. He needs to say that it's not applicable before he can take it out. And again, I won't know what would ever motivate the minister to do that because it cannot be demonstrated, in my view. The principle I summarized, because that's in terms of the EMPR, you cannot look at individual provisions and look at the May and in that context. You must look at the entire act and what we are trying to do. We are saying, in order for the listing of mining in the EIA regulations as it is to come into effect, the conditions set by the Minister of Minerals and Energy must be met. In other words, the duplication of the regulatory requirements must be taken out, so the need to do an EIA in terms of the NPRDA must be eliminated, and B, the minister must be so incompetent. And that is essentially what this is. The environmental authorization obtained in terms of the EIA regulations meets all the requirements of the NPRDA plus the additional requirements in terms of public participation, in terms of what I've already mentioned, that the decision is appealable, that the decision is now enforceable. So the environmental authorization is substantially stronger in law than the approval of an EPR. The requirement that around closure, around financial provisions, is not discretionary for models. It's discretionary other activities should be decided in future use those provisions for other activities. The requirements in terms of closure for mining remain. And again, 24Q, in order to comply with 24Q, you need an approved EPR, which implies that you still require an EPR for mining. So I am really concerned here about the impression that is maybe unintentionally being created that the NPRDA provisions is protecting the environment better in terms of mining than the amendment would do. Because I think that is flawed argumentation. I think we by just making it subject to environmental authorization and bringing it into operation in terms of a notice, in terms of the current EIA regulation, will strengthen the protection of the environment in terms of mining substantially. And then secondly, I need to say that this overemphasis of mining is maybe not helpful. Because the bill is, mining is one of the economic activities that Chapter 5 is managing. It is by no means the focus of Chapter 5. It may look like it because we have to, as a result of the negotiation process, bring provisions from the NPRDA over. The focus of Chapter 5 is on environmental authorization. And mining has now just been brought into that field.
Okay. Thank you very much, Advocate.
So just in short and sweet, I'd just like to say that I concur with the view of the department on the board.
It's up to you, members of parliament. What say you, Madam Chairman?
Chair, thank you, and thank you for allowing this debate, because I think it's been very useful, and I think it's been useful but difficult. I think for us as non-legal persons to follow the niceties of the extreme, the ability of the legal persona to really unpack what is involved here, and I think it's because mining has historically been one of the major damaging industries and activities in the country, and happened in such an incredibly unmanaged way in the name of profit. And I think it's also because we know that in the near future, a huge amount of new coal mining is going to be taking place. And in fact, I think a lot of that is already underway, and we wonder what the damage of that is going to be. And I can hear what the LRC is saying about concerns that the NPRDA has within its legal framework more capacity to as far as EIA is concerned. And for me, it's a bit confusing when it comes to the conjuncture between NPRDA and the NEMA amendment. But I think for my part, I'm comfortable with what you are saying, backed up by the advocates. And as far as the environmental authorization is concerned as well, I'm not sure whether the chair would require, I think it would be useful for further, for LRC to give us further written information and advice as far as their concerns are concerned. But I think it's been a really useful exercise, and useful as far as the public are concerned as well. I don't think the press ever come to, the sort of everyday press ever come to our meetings, but it would have been, I think, a useful piece of information to take to the public as well, and just to see with what care and consideration this committee does investigate and try to get out of new legislation the effect of improving the quality of life of people and of the environment in this country.
Thank you, Chair. Having listened to both arguments, and I have been on the receiving end from the activity of mining, I still suffer the repercussions of that. When others come, I'm on the fringes of not very far from Deep Blue in Orlando East, and looking at this legislation and what it attempts to do, I feel pretty comfortable that at least my concerns are being addressed on the basis of legislation, but I can't help but agree with what the department is saying.
Is there any other member to comment on this? Honorable Felix?
I feel compelled to comment on this. Particularly after Jan Durantis has told me I need to concur with the department. But I concur with Honorable Chalmers' comments. I think this is a very confusing issue, particularly for non-legal experts, to kind of get to the bottom of. And certainly I think that what you've done here is very good, because I mean we need to be assured as a committee that when a bill gets passed, that we've got everything, we don't have any concerns hanging out there. Now, one of the issues that I pick up is that, if I'm getting it right from the LRC, is that the regulations can be changed as such. And so, to put certain things which should be put into statute law, to put that into regulations, would just open up a door which people would be able to drive through. I think we have tried to kind of constrain that by saying regulations need to come back to the National Assembly or to the committee, which possibly is a way of safeguarding that as well. So we would, I mean, I don't know what power we would have if suddenly that door was open in those regulations. I mean, I imagine this committee would be able to take a very firm stance and say, no, we don't accept that. So perhaps that is a little bit of a guarantee that we can give in that regard. But, you know, this kind of legal, I wouldn't know where this kind of debate ends in terms of that. But I think that is one little bit of a guarantee that we can probably get.
Yeah. I think that, for me, that is a critical issue as well. That we should insist in the text of the legislation that the regulation must come to Parliament. It must come to Parliament, consulted Parliament, until then. Mm-hmm. So that therefore means you will have another bite at the cherry. So we will are you related to Bill Andrews? Do you know Bill Andrews?
Mm-hmm.
You must go to Google and check you must go to Google. We will get Bill Andrews. Bill Andrews has influenced many people in this committee. He was one of the founders of the South African Communist Party. So you check that. Yes, Mr. Kuhn.
Just on that point, if the department, say, wanted to change regulations, which the same regulations can be changed, but those change regulations have to come back again to the National Assembly as well. And
yeah.
Any kind of change regulation
you come to
us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think for me that is the one safeguard, so that there'll be a public discourse on the matter. And I think you should know now, I'm not sure, things change in politics, but definitely I think there's been a consistency in the approach of this committee on environmental issues. You have allies in the committee. I don't think you've always understood that, but you do have allies in this committee. So if there's any loophole, any weakness, we are always, Madam knows this, that we are always willing to open up and reflect on those issues. I think that closes off this moment of our work. I think now we are ready to go to clause by clause. Come on. I'll go. Prelim.
Yeah, I think that if I remember, you stopped the LRC halfway, wasn't it? You were getting that. Okay. Because I know there is another point that was raised around interested and affected parties, that should possibly be included as in 24.0 as a separate, as another criteria that needs to be looked at around environmental authorization. That reconsideration needs to be given to that. I know that point has been raised by them as well.
Madam McCourt?
Yes. Okay, as a result of the public hearings and the debate, the whole issue of seeking patents that is already in the bill that we discussed last week, which is that public participation is compulsory, 24.4.8, that public participation is defined, and that interested and affected parties is defined. So I think that issue has been addressed in three ways. And that we've even said, in addition to the community, if we define it, the stick to definition of minerals and energy is also in corporation. So the whole issue around public participation is in 24.4a as absolute mandatory and not a qualified mandatory requirement. And as I said, interested in affected party and public participation is in
Madam Roo, I'm not going to recognize you. We have indulged the LRC, you are part of them, so we've done enough for that network today.
Thank you.
Okay. So could you then... So it's important to make this point, this thing, that we are of the opinion of the committee that we will not have any public hearing on this matter. So no further public hearing. I think this process is still open to the NCOP, I presume. So the parliamentary process is still open on this matter. Therefore, if people feel that they may want to further inform us, you can write something. If you feel you want to rebut, at least we might speak and whisper to the people at the NCOP that maybe we made a mistake here and there. So that process is on. We are always open to thinking through things. We have an interest in properly assisting coming through. But from point of view of the National Assembly, we are not going to have any further public hearings because we've already had those. So that is the decision that we're taking as a committee. Could we then move on to the former state of the people?
Because these are amendments, then there's Bill B. That is B version. If you can put those B version instead of this. So that now it's. Huh? The amendment.
Let's come to. Do you have it, member? Mr. Mgwena, do you have B36A 2007? Because we are going to be using it. That's where all the amendments that are introduced are.
B36A 2007?
Yeah, B36A 2007. And then we're also going to use the original B36 2007, because that's the one that will point out where the actual changes have been made. So we're going to work on both of them. Okay?
B36B.
Yes, B36B, that is the original. The amendment is introduced, so I'm calling it the original. It's what we've been trying to amend.
B36B.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the published bill. It's B36 2007. And this, we call it the area. Okay, so we're going to go to both of them simultaneously. Okay, so on page 2, after line 10, we insert the following paragraph B, A, B. Okay.
Are we in agreement on this?
Yes.
Okay. On page 2, after line 17, to insert the following paragraph, D, A, B. Are we agreed on that? Okay. Still on page 2, from line 18, to omit paragraph C. Line 18, also line 18. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then, are we agreed on that one?
Yeah.
Okay. On page 3, after line 9, to insert the following paragraph.
Okay.
Paragraph G, paragraph H, yeah, and paragraph H. Are we agreed on that? Line 10 to omit paragraph F and to substitute with paragraph I. Line 10. Okay. And A and B. Have you agreed on that?
Yeah.
Still on page 3, after line 12. Insert the following paragraph, J, K, L, M. Have you agreed on that one? Still on page 3, after line 16, insert the following paragraph, O, P, Q. Are we agreed on that one? Again, on page 3. Oh, sorry, we're in clause 2. On page 3, clause 2 on page 3. In line 35, after authorization to insert, I should read that one, or the Minister of Minerals and Energy, as the case may be, except in respect of those activities that may commence without having to obtain an environmental authorization in terms of this Act. Are you agreed on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 3, still on page 3, after line 35, insert the following subsection, 1, capital A, and A, B, C, D, E, F. Are we agreed on that one?
Yeah.
On page 3, in line 52, to omit paragraph A and to substitute paragraph A and B. Are we agreed on that?
Okay.
Okay. Let me move on to page 4. On page 4, in line 23, to omit N. In line 23 to omit N. Are we agreed on that? Below line 20. Okay, that's after application. N. Okay. Are we agreed on that one? Okay. On page 4, after line 28 to insert V. Are you agreed on that one? Still on page 4, from line 29, to omit paragraph B and to substitute B. Are you agreed on that one?
Mm-hmm.
On point, on page 4, from line 39, to omit sub paragraph 3 and to substitute with a new 3, basically. Are you agreed on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 5, from line 4, to omit paragraph 7, Roman 7, and to substitute with a new 7. Agreed on that one? Okay. On page 5, following page, in line 25, to omit end. Agreed on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 5, after line 26, to insert 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Roman figure. Agreed on those? Okay. Then count. On page 5, line 33, to omit plans and substitute program. Agreed on that? On page 6, from line 22, to omit required for environmental authorization. Agreed on that? On page 6, in line 24, to omit an activity identified and to substitute a listed activity or specified activity. On page 6, in line 26, Sorry. On page 6, from line 22, to omit required for environmental authorization. Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. On page 6, line 24, to omit an activity identified in and substitute a listed or specified activity. Agreed on that?
Okay.
Still on page 6, in line 26, to omit this act and to substitute Section 24, 4. Agreed on that? On page 6, in line 39, to omit listed and to substitute or for any part of an activity or for a combination of activities contemplated. On page 6, in line 42, to omit end. On page 6, after 42, to insert the following subparagraph 3. Okay, yeah, subparagraph 3. I will agree on that one.
Mm-hmm.
On page 6, in line 43, to omit 3 and to substitute 4. Roman figure. On page 6, in line 50, to omit assess and substitute measured. Clause 5 on page 8. In line, on page 8, in line 10, after authority to insert or the Minister of Minerals and Energy, as the case may be. Agreed on that. On page 8, line 17, after 1 to insert A. Agreed? On page 8, after line 17, to insert the following subparagraph B, subsection 1B. Agreed on that? On page 8, in line 19, to omit the second or. On page 8, line 20, to omit 24M, to substitute 24M or. on page 8 after line 20 to insert the following subparagraph, E, and approve the environmental management program. Clause 6, still on page, no, still on page 8, clause 6. On page 8, in line 24, to omit or continuation and substitute or continuation. What is that? Deletion. On page 8, in line 41, to omit plan and substitute plan program. Clause 8 on page 9, from line 16, to omit all the words following guidelines up to section 24.5 in line 18 and to substitute regarding A, listed activities or specified activities, or B, the implementation, administration, and institutional arrangements of regulations made in terms of section 24.5. Agreed on that? On page 10, line 16, after that, to insert substantial. On page 10, line 20, to omit subsection 1 and to substitute 1. Agreed? On page 10, after line 22, to insert the following subsection 2. Agreed? On page 10, in line 22, to omit 2 and substitute 3. Agreed? On page 10, in line 25, from section to omit from section 24, 4B and substitute in terms of this section. Agreed? On page 10, in line 26, to omit 3 and substitute 4. Agreed? Still on page 10, in line 26, after minister to insert the Minister of Minerals and Energy. Agreed? On page 10, in line 27, after 1 to insert or 2, as the case may be. Agreed? On page 10, after line 33, to insert the following section. Environmental Management Program. There's section 24N, the whole section. It includes 24N, 24O, 24P, 24Q, 24R, okay, agreed, then there's a new clause, that the following be a new clause in section of 42B in Act 107 of 1998, that is section 9, of that act, particularly 42B. Have you agreed on that? Then there's clause 9 on page 10 after line 40. Insert the following subsections 1A, 1B, I will agree on that. Still on page 10 in line 51, after 3 to insert 1A, 1B. I will agree on that. I will agree on that one. Okay. And then a new clause. That the following be a new clause. Amendment of section 47 of Act 107/1998 as amended by section 8 of Act 8 of 2004. All of that amendment, including section 11. Are you agreed on that one? Then on page 11, after line 18, so this is clause 10. On page 11, after line 18, insert the following subsections 3, 4, 5, A, and B. Are you agreed on that?
Okay.
Then there's a new clause. That the following be a new clause. Amendment of Principal Act in order to transfer to the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism the power in respect of environmental matters insofar as it relates to mining. Then 13, the Principal Act as amended by this Act is amendment to the extent specified in the circular with effect from a date 18 months after the date on which the provisions relating to prospecting, mining, exploration, and production and related activities comes into operation in terms of section 14.2 of this Act. Agreed on that? Clause 11.
Okay.
On page 11, in line 20, after 11, to insert 1. Agreed? On page 11, in line 21, to omit 2007 and to substitute 2008. On page 11, line 22, to insert the following subsection 1A and B. Then on page 2, in the set line after authorization to insert. So okay, go back to page 2. On the long title. Okay. To insert that whole section or something I don't know. Okay. To empower the Ministry of Minerals and Energy to implement environmental matters in terms of the National Environment Management Act 1998 insofar as it relates to prospecting, mining, exploration, production, or related activities on a prospecting, mining, exploration, or production area to align environmental requirements in the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act 2002 with the National Environment Management Act of 1998. By providing for the use of one environmental system and by providing for environmental management programs, consultation with state departments, exemption from certain provisions of the National Environment Management Act of 1998, financial provision for the remediation of environmental damage, the management of residue stockpiles and residue deposits, the recovery of costs in the event of urgent remedial measures, and the issuing of closing certificates as it relates to the conditions of the environmental authorization and to effect certain textual alteration. Are you agreed on that?
No.
Julius?
I don't agree. Why is the line going to you?
Come again?
Okay, I agree. I can see now, you know, I'm like, sorry to you. Okay. There's a line
going to you. Not 12 yet, Mr. Julius. Not 12 yet. Wait for another 40 minutes. New schedule, that the following be a new schedule, section 13, amendment of section 1 of Act 107 of 1998, section 1, of that act, amendment of, have you agreed, section 1 of that act A and B, have you agreed on that?
Yes.
Amendment of section 24M of Act 107-1998, have you agreed on that?
Yes.
Amendment of section 24R of Act 107-1998, agreed on that? Repeal of section 42B of Act 107-1998, have you agreed? Okay. Section 4 of that, are you agreed on that?
Yes.
Amendment of section 43 of Act 107 of 1998, are you agreed on that?
Yes.
Particularly section 5 of that act, amendment of substitution of certain expressions, 6 of the principal act is sections A, B, C, and D. I agree to all of those. I think we're through. It seems that we're through. Are we agreed on the bill as amended? Can I have a move for adoption? From Kurai, seconded by Mr. Julius. Okay. Then we come to the adoption of the report of the committee. Report of the Portfolio Committee of Environmental Affairs and Tourism on the National Environmental Management Bill, Bill 36 of 2007, National Assembly, Section 76, dated 21st May 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs and Tourism, having considered the subject of the National Environment Management Management Amendment Bill, which is 2007, National Assembly, Section 76, referred to it and ratified by the Joint Taking Mechanism, a Section 76 bill, reports the bill with amendments. Is there a mover for this, for adoption of this bill? Manuleka, seconded by Dr. Kachalia.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. We've finalized this piece of legislation. The meeting is not over. Not over. Those who have the energy to read the agenda will know now that we've got to adopt outstanding committee minutes. We have them.